The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Matthew 25. It's continuing the story from last week, beginning at verse 14. And this is the good news about Jesus. Listen. The kingdom of heaven is also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave 5 talents worth $5,000. To another, 2 talents worth $2,000. And to a third, one talent worth $1,000, each depending on their abilities. And then he left. And right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with the single talent, worth $1,000, dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. And his master commended him. He said, "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, I'm going to make you a partner." The servant with the 2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment. And his master was very proud. "Good work," the master said. "You did your job well. From now on, I'm going to make you my partner." And then the man who was given 1,000 said, "Master, I know you have very high standards, and you hate carelessness, and that you demand the very best, and that you make no allowances for error. I was afraid to disappoint you, and so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, $1,000, safe and sound, down to the last cent." The master was furious. "That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with bankers, where I would have at least gotten a little interest. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play-it-safe person who won't go out on a limb. Throw him out into the darkness." Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. And may we hear what we need to hear so that we can be energized and transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. So all of us have something, a talent, a gift of some kind that we have in our life. And sometimes we want to keep that kind of to ourselves. We only use it sort of for ourselves. Some of us might enjoy listening to certain kinds of music. And we don't perform music. We like listening to the music. And so our activity then is listening to the music. And we enjoy that. That's a passion. And our ability to discern between kinds of music could be that gift. Maybe you're that kind of person who likes to read music reviews, or you pay attention to the Billboard charts, or you even might be someone who likes to listen to new kinds of music, knowing that you hate it. But because you appreciate music, you're going to invest some time to learn about music. And you might even become more discriminating about the kind of music you actually really hate, and you have 5 reasons to tell me why. Or perhaps you're someone who enjoys good food. How many people here love to eat? Anybody here? All right. Well, you see, John, you were not half wrong, because I had more than half the people just raised their hand. But do you know any people that are foodies? Kind of what we might jokingly say, a food snob. You know, someone who only eats Burke's hot dogs and none other.
That would be me.
Someone who watches what they eat so carefully that they become a problem in the family. Or perhaps it's just you like food, and you might be someone who has your grandma's favorite recipes, and that would be all of you. But you also like to experiment. Now, my wife is someone like this. As soon as you found Pinterest, your experimentation scale went off the charts. Now, Pinterest online has been around for a long time, but it's people just like all of you who share a favorite recipe, who share a favorite way to fix that car, who share a favorite way to draw a picture or to plan a vacation. And people just share these things on Pinterest, and they sort of are voted on, like up, thumbs up, thumbs down in that Pinterest community, so that you know that when you find a recipe for a new way to make an apple pie, for example, you'll know that 4,000 people really thought this was a great recipe and 25 people didn't like it. So you might be inclined to try it. Now, you still have grandma's recipe, but you might have a hidden talent that you like to experiment with something new and annoy your family, because that comes with every experimentation, doesn't it? Oh, I don't like the way you made that. Well, how many times have you said that? Okay, you're polite. How many times have you thought that? Please, no more experiments. No more changes in my life. I can hardly bear it. That casserole was awful. But you know, sometimes we dig up those old recipes. We find that grandma's favorite whatever, and we make it. And it's awful. Because sometimes our talents, our abilities uncover things that are unexpected. And the unexpected isn't always positive. Sometimes the unexpected is a little unpleasant. What hidden talent do you think God wants you to work on this week? How many Thanksgivings have you enjoyed? Well, I suppose you might just quickly calculate your age. Some of you might need help with that. But we quickly calculate our age, you know, and then we think back how many Thanksgivings, that would be about that many. But how many times have you heard other people talk about how difficult Thanksgiving time is? To plan, to organize, it gets convoluted, it gets so complicated. And sometimes it's because of the stressors we feel in our own life, because Thanksgiving as a holiday reminds us of who is missing. And so holidays can be thoughtfully painful as we recall those who aren't here. We need to tell God that. God, you know what? I love Thanksgiving. I love being grateful. But I just remember who isn't here around the table this year. Give thanks for them. Give thanks for that memory that you have. That might be a hidden talent that you have, to be able to bring to life all the best of someone who may have passed. So you don't ignore the person missing. You affirm the person missing, and you give thanks for that. But other times, Thanksgiving can be stressful because, as I just asked you to count how many you had, it's not that many. And so Thanksgiving is hardly ever practiced. We only do it once a year. And why is it it's always sooner than we think it's coming, when every single year it's the third Thursday of the month? Or is it the fourth? There you go. That shows my age right there. And so the fourth Thursday of the month, it's always the same thing. But every year, oh my, I can't believe next week's Thanksgiving. What's the surprise? What's changed from last year? Or you ask the question, what are we going to have for Thanksgiving? Have you ever had anything different? And so this also, though, can be a hidden talent you have. Maybe you have a way of making this Thanksgiving even more enjoyable, because you're going to put in a little more thought into it. You're going to risk a new recipe for those sweet potatoes. You're going to change the dessert just a little bit. Not to annoy people, but to bring something new into a holiday. Because Thanksgiving, if you're having Thanksgiving identical to the way you did it last year, I wonder how thankful you've become. If you're just rehearsing the old recipes from 40 years ago, that's great. But I wonder what new recipes you're missing because you're stuck on the old. Remember when Grandma came up with that apple pie recipe, and I do have memories of my grandma's apple pie recipe. And no, she didn't put raisins in it, okay? You know? But I have memories of that. But you know, one day to my grandmom, that was a new recipe. She may have gotten that from someone else. She may have come up with it on her own. But it was new once. And as we celebrate things, let's not let that newness evaporate. That could be a way that God brings in hidden talents from a holiday that seems so repetitious. And you could apply this same idea to Christmas as well. And maybe to your family birthdays. And maybe to your anniversaries. Celebrate the past, but allow God to bring something new that it becomes life-giving and energizing, not just repetitious. So Jesus is standing and giving his disciples sort of a pep talk about what matters in the kingdom of heaven. And here's something that, to me, it just constantly surprises me as I let myself be open to what God has said. How many times, perhaps, have you heard the same story? But when we listen into this, remember that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven is like. And we have all sorts of ideas. We could probably fill in the blank. And we come up with our own notions of that. Our own filters go to work. Our own earlier studies, our own expectations, our own needs. Before Jesus can put a word in edgewise, we already have an idea of what he's going to say. First of all, the kingdom of heaven is filled with Presbyterians. Secondly, they all go to Cold Spring Church, and they all sit in the back. Well, that could be true. But Jesus, remember, to the ears of the people he was speaking to, they thought the kingdom of heaven was simply put a restored nation of Israel. Mostly, not exceptions apply. By and large, it was a country under siege. They had no cornerstone, no way to sort of lead their own destiny forward. They were under the authority of Rome. Of course, most of the entire known world was under the authority of Rome. And so they were struggling with their own personal identity. But Jesus says, don't worry about your own personal identity. I want you to think of something a little different today. I want you to think about the kingdom of heaven. And they said, oh, well, certainly being a good Jew, they would have said. It's someone who goes to the temple regularly. It's someone who gives of their tithes and offerings, you know, as they go in. Remember, they took collections outside the temple. They didn't collect it during the worship service or the ceremony. They all had retrieval bays outside, and so as you came in, you came in with a spirit of gratitude by placing your offerings at the door, and then you go in to worship. And then on the way out, you go out to serve. And so they had this custom of how you do things. But Jesus says, I'd like to tell you, I want you to think a little differently about the kingdom of heaven. There's something that you're missing in your life, something that's hidden, and I'd like to show a little light on it. And so he tells the story of the three servants, the three employees, who each were given some responsibility in different proportion, it says, according to their abilities. One 5,000, one 3,000, and one 1,000. I don't think when the person was given 1,000, that person said, oh man, why didn't I get three? In fact, it's possible that that person with 1,000 didn't even know the other two very well. But the point is they were given something from the master, from the owner of the company, to go and do something good with because he was on his way or she was on his way on a trip to go do something else. And the person that was given three, I don't think they said, three, man, that stinks. I was really hoping for 3.5, maybe four, but three. No, they received the gifts that the owner of the company gave. Hey, here's 3,000. Now you go and you do something awesome with that. And I'll check in on you later. Thanks so much. And the person with five said, wow, $5,000. I don't think I've ever had $5,000 before. Wow, the master must really trust me. That's amazing. And so they go and they just go and they work for the period of time, for that interval that they were given. And then later, the owner of the company, the manager of the team, the group comes back together and he says, hey, I just would like to have a little check-in. Let's do a little one-on-one. Like to see how things are going. How you doing? How's the weather? How are the Eagles? Yeah. But how'd you do with that investment that I made in you? What did you do with that $5,000, for example? He goes, yeah, boy, that $5,000, I built myself a car. Or I built you a brand new wing on the building. I helped people that needed food this winter. I helped all sorts of people do amazing things with that $5,000. And in summary, I pretty much doubled your investment. The master was very happy. Now, remember, the person had $5,000, let's say, in our currency. And remember, that's a risk, right? So when you have $5,000, when you have a talent like that, you're responsible for its use. And so he doubled it. And the same with the one given $3,000. Came right back with the six. Here's what I did. Wow, that's awesome. And in the Message translation, as we read here, it says that I'm going to make you a partner. In other words, your behaviors are just like being an owner of the company. That's amazing, because it takes risk in order to grow things. It takes risk in order to build things. It takes, if we wanted to have a crop out in the field, we'd have to plant seeds. That's a risk. Remember the parable of the soils. Remember the lost sheep. Remember all the possibilities in life that can come up and snatch those seeds away. If you're going to go invest in good seed and plant it in the soil, it takes a risk. And the 5,000 and the 3,000 investments were doubled. Now, even if they got some return or most, I don't think it's so much about the doubling as much as they invested it all and they returned on the investment. But then there's the person with 1,000. And I don't think the amount matters either, only to Jesus, it's a parable, only to make the point that this person didn't even have to risk as much as the first, didn't even have to risk as much as the second. This person, comparatively speaking, was given even less to invest. So the risk was lowered for them. The threshold of responsibility was reduced. It's still responsible. I mean, 1,000 is more than 100, and 100 is more than 10. And 10 is more than nothing. So the owner of the company, the manager of the team, the master of the servants, they trusted this employee or team member and said, I'm going to invest in you. And I'm going to come and check. And the person returns and says, you know what? You're just so tough. And even with 1,000, I didn't want to risk losing any of it. And so here it is. I did good, right? Now, first of all, I know what you're thinking, especially the bankers out here. They're thinking, well, at least I didn't lose it. How many times have you lost your keys? How many times have you lost your way? How many times have you lost that thought you were just about to say? So at least this person did not lose the $1,000. He, like in the story I was sharing with Brent, he took the gifts, the talents, the tools, and the bag, and went in the backyard and buried it so that no one would steal it, so that he wouldn't risk losing it. And so he comes and says, here's your money. He may have been smiling. I don't think he would have been embarrassed or, here's the $1,000. I don't imagine it being like that. Instead, I say, here's your $1,000. All safe and sound. So I imagine in the story that this person, his attitude, his perspective, flipped 180 degrees when he heard from the master, from the boss. What a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live so cautiously like that. You said I demand the best, and yet you did less than the least. The least you could have done was to invest it and get a little bit of interest. Take the 1,000, Jesus says. And they gave it to the person who had now 10,000, right? I had the 5, it doubled it. Take the 1,000 and give that extra amount to him, because him or her, because that woman, that man knew that hidden talents must never be hidden. To put it differently, talent should not be hidden. So what has God given you? God has given you amazing things. And you know what they are. And I can't evaluate that on a comparative scale. I don't know if you've been given 5,000 worth of stuff or whether I've been given 50. We can't evaluate each other like that. This parable is not about comparative shopping. The parable is about comparative investing. There is a requirement in the kingdom of heaven, maybe not out there, maybe not the way most people think about life, but Jesus wants us to think differently about his kingdom. And remember, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So he wants our behaviors to reflect the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to reflect the values of the kingdom. And part of that is, no matter what we have been given, God expects a return on it. And the least we could do is just to try to get a little incremental interest year after year after year. You know, Cold Spring Church has been given incredible talent. I'm looking at a lot of it right now. We have been given incredible assets. Out these doors, you could see a good piece of it, our tangible landscape, real estate assets. We have resources from congregations in the past that have been saved up and stored up for the right time, and they get investments on that. We get a return on the investment of that. But what is it that when this church was started 300 years ago, that God was investing in every single year? Year one, year two. Do you think the people in year five knew there'd be a year 10? Do you think the people in year 100 thought there'd be two? Well, they thought about it, because we are bearing witness to the investments that they have made. And now another century has come. We're celebrating our 303rd year. And we're celebrating it at the dinner coming up. And I hope you'll come on December 9th. But what is it that God has given Cold Spring Church? Whatever, it's 303 years, not 5,000, 3,001. Cold Spring Church, I have given you 303 years. And we need to tell the story of what we've done with it. We have to share, not the incremental returns, all the fantastic returns and how we're investing into the future so that lives are changed, so that communities change, so that people find hope. Because the kingdom of heaven is the standard by which we live. So let's not bury Cold Spring Church's blessings. Thanksgiving is a time to remember not to hoard our gifts, but to share them. Some of you are going to be at places where they distribute food for those that aren't able to make meals for themselves. Some of you have brought in food items and other things that are being distributed far and wide to help provide at least a day so that people don't have to worry about putting food on their table, and that maybe they can get the resources they need to make a better choice for the next day to come. Maybe you're collecting clothing that has been already received and distributed. There might be people wearing that winter coat that you gave last spring. They might be wearing it today. Thanks to you and your generosity. That's an investment that you have made. That's taking a talent and sharing it so others receive a blessing. But there's far more that we could do. Jesus said, don't hide your talent, whatever it is. And God wants to see an investment on it that's abundant, even doubled. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you love us so much, that you've given us so much, you've invested in us. And may we be open to the ways that you want our talents, maybe a bit hidden right now, that you want us just to offer forward. We want to share with someone else. We want to make it known. Hey, here's something I can do. Here's something I'm really excited about. Here's something I'd love to invest in. Lord, there are needs in our community. There are people looking for hope. We have a lot of hope in this room. May we find ways of investing that hope in the lives of others through Christ our Lord. Amen.